I want to read that verse again real quick, Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I love this church. Brother Leroy talked about it, but I love the idea of church. If I didn't know about this church and somebody told me about a place that was like our church, I would like that idea. But I like our church. I like the church that we're in. I like our local church, and as was already testified about. I like this church. I mean, I like going to other churches, but I like this church. I like seeing what other churches do, but I like our church. And I'd say my favorite time of church is Sunday night. This isn't my favorite Sunday night, but most Sunday nights are my favorite because it's a little more relaxed. You have testimony time, kind of that family atmosphere. You know, you might have heard said before, you can take your shoes off, but you also might get your toes stepped on. But that atmosphere of Sunday night church, and for me, it's the least schizophrenic time for me because I'm going to be here and not run every which way and going to three different places. But I like Sunday night church, and I like the times of fellowship that we have together. I got to go to Senior Saints on Thursday, and I liked all the jokes that they told. I can't repeat some of them here, but they were pretty funny, and all of them were funny, but some of them I can't repeat. Brother Harry told me one this morning, and I'm not sure if he was talking about when he was doing the devotion Thursday night or if he was seeing what was going to happen tonight, but he was telling me a joke about an older couple in church, and they were sitting in church, and the pastor was preaching, and he got a little long-winded. He got a little, you know, dry and long-winded, and the old man fell asleep. And after a few minutes, the preacher was preaching. He looked around, and he saw the man asleep, and he looked at the man's wife, and he kind of made a motion like, wake him up. You know, he didn't say it out loud, but he said, wake that guy up. And so the wife kind of gives her elbow to the husband, and then she leans over and shakes him a little bit, and then she gets frustrated and looks back at the preacher and stands up and says, you put him to sleep. You wake him up. But so hopefully that won't happen tonight. Hopefully it'll go quickly. But if it does happen, I'll make sure that there's no cars in the parking lot and everybody's awake before we shut the doors. But tonight I want to preach about how we serve. And this morning, of course, we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. And hopefully all of us, I haven't heard the message talking about being schizophrenic. I was in junior church, but that idea of looking for people that we can help. The idea of that you have to go. You have to find people that need help. And in keeping with that, the way that we serve, how we serve others. A man that was here for a short time, Brother Tom Doyle, he was a preacher. He was always encouraging to me, and he would kind of give me tips after I would speak. And something that he told me, he said, there's usually four categories when you preach. And he said, there's people are doing something bad that they should not do, and they need to stop doing it. And that'd be like sin, lying, or stealing, or cheating, and you should preach against sin. Or number two, it could be something good that you're not doing that you should start doing. And that would be what we heard about this morning, helping others, reading your Bible, praying, all good things in God's Word that if you're not doing it, you should start. And then number three, it's a way of thinking or a philosophy and something that you have in your head that's not right and you need to change it. The way that you think, the way that you see people. An example of that would be pride or bitterness. It's just something inside of you, the way that you think that you need to change. And they said the last one would be the absence of a good way of thinking, something that is true and necessary in your life, but it's something that you haven't decided to adopt yet. And that would be like forgiveness, something that we all need to do that only we know if we did it or not. Only we truly know if we've forgiven another. But it's a way of thinking. It's something that goes on in the inside as opposed to something that we do on the outside. And those are all good, and it was excellent advice. And tonight I'm not going to preach in any one of those categories. I kind of created a fifth one. And it's for our church because I'm not preaching to correct a problem, and I haven't seen a bad attitude. But in this category, what I said, it's something, an action or a way of thinking that you already do, or that you already understand. It's not something that you should do that you're not doing, or something that you're doing that you should stop. And again, I always preach to myself, so I'm talking to myself as well. But it's something that you know how to do. It's something that you are doing, and it's an attitude or a philosophy that you already have. John wrote to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And again, I'm not saying that anybody has left their first love. What I'm trying to say tonight is don't leave that passion, that love of service, the love of serving God. Don't leave your first love. Don't lose your joy. If you've lost it or you're about to lose it, go get it back. What we're talking about tonight is serving other people, and as we do that, we serve God. Don't give up on God because of people and circumstances. It's easy for an inexperienced person to tell that to an experienced person, and it's harder. It's more and more difficult for me to say that as I get older and experience different people in different circumstances, and then tell myself that I'm not serving people, I'm serving God. When I was in, and this is true for all of us, when I was a little kid, there was a sign above the church door when he left, and it said, "Don't quit." It was all capital letters. It said, "Don't quit." And then it said, to me, it said, I-C-O-R-I-S-S-E. So I would pronounce that I-Cor-E-S. But I was a little kid. That's not what it said. Sometimes kids see things differently than adults. My son, Aaron, he has listened to me too many times. When it's time to go somewhere, I will say, "We don't have all day. Let's go. Come on, let's go. We don't have all day." Last night, he was looking at something. He wanted Chantel to look at it, and he said, "Mommy, come here." And she didn't respond right away. He said, "Mommy, I want to show you something. Come here." And finally, he got frustrated. It was the end of the night. He was in his pajamas, and he actually looked down, and he said, "I know we have all day, but can you please come over here and look?" So he misunderstood the expression. I misunderstood I-Cor-E-S. That was "don't quit," 1 Corinthians 15:58. The numbers were letters, but I was reading it wrong. And that verse says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That same thought. The service that you do for others is not for others. It is to show your love and your service to God. That's the way God set it up. And to be steadfast is to be settled. Unmovable is the opposite of being stirred up and removed out of your place. Abounding, to exceed or to excel, to increase, to remain over and above. And I'm going to read our text verse one more time. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So tonight, again, I'm not trying to correct a problem. I don't think we have a problem. Everybody in this church is an example to me about how to serve the Lord by serving others. I don't think we have an attitude problem. I don't think we have an absence of doing right or overabundance of doing wrong. But I'm talking to a group of people tonight that I believe understand this, but I don't want you to lose it. I don't want you to get overcome by circumstances. And the reason I feel compelled to give this is I've known people better than myself, people that I respect and look up to that have gotten discouraged, that have, for one reason or another, said it's not the way it was. And I've seen myself almost be in that situation because of I've lost focus on who I'm serving, and I look at the people in my life instead of the God that I'm serving. And again, I'm not talking about bad people, I'm just talking about people. So tonight I got three obvious common sense reminders about our service for God. And again, I think we know this, but every now and then we need to remind ourselves of what we should already know. Tonight, mainly the sermon's for Christians. You know you're headed for heaven. You know you trusted Jesus. You know Jesus paid for your sins. And you know that you're trusting in Jesus for redemption, for heaven. And I don't want you to forget an obvious truth while we're here on this earth, while we're living our earthly lives. So reminder number one, we serve a great God, and he has already made choices for our individual lives. God already chose your family. God chose this place for you. God chose this time. To me, for God to look at all of history and to pick and say, "I want you to live in this time. This is where I want you to live. And I want you to live with these people. I want you to be surrounded by these circumstances." God already made those choices for us. God is unique, singular, one of a kind. We talked about it in Sunday school. He's without fault, without sin. He's always the same. He's all-powerful. And he is always present, and he knows everything. He's never made a mistake. We can trust him. The song says, we can trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. And that is our God. That's the God that we serve. Outside of our worship and our thanksgiving and our praise to him, almost all of our interaction with God and our service to God is through the intermediary or through the middleman of other human beings. Brother Jack sang about it. He sang about the truth that he learned, but there was probably a man or woman, boy or girl, or another person that told him the truth of the Word of God. God used other people to get the message to us. And that was God's choice. And he didn't have to do it that way, but that's the way God chose to do it. God chose to use other people. And God chose, he made choices in our individual lives. God chooses strangers over an angel that announces himself every time. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And that was God's choice to, you know, if it was me and God was going to send me an angel, I would want to know that it was an angel. I wouldn't want to find out about it later. I'd want to know beforehand and get things the way they should be before the angel came over. But that's not the way that God chooses to work. And God chooses our situation. God chooses our family. And he chooses to use us as a representation of himself. I won't read the passage, but in Matthew 25, Jesus talked about a judgment that's going to take place between some sheep and some goats. Two groups of people. And the king says to one group of people, I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I didn't have any clothes, you gave me clothes. I was a stranger, you took me in. And he said to the other group the same thing, except they didn't respond the same way. He said, I was hungry, you didn't give me any food. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. I didn't have any clothes, you didn't give me anything to wear. The first group said, I don't remember doing this for the king. I don't remember giving the king clothes or food or drink, and the first group, which he said had done it, didn't remember it. And the second group said, King, I never saw you. If I would have seen you, I would have given you these things. And the king says to the group that he was about to welcome into paradise that had done these things, he said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And he said, you never saw the king, but the people that you were serving, the people that you were clothing and feeding and giving a place to stay, that was me. That was the king. That was the king you were taking care of. You just didn't know it. And those that didn't help anyone, he said, I was one of those people that was asking for help, and you didn't give me help. God chose to use people as a representation of himself. God decided to use other people for us to serve instead of presenting himself and saying, serve me. Again, inasmuch as you did it or inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it or you did it not to me. God chose to use other people instead of himself as the recipients of our service. That was all number one. God made these choices. That's our reminder. God set it up this way. Reminder number two, our God, whom we should desire to serve and please with our life, and hopefully I know that's true for our church. We desire to serve him. We desire to please him. He's perfect. He's worthy. He deserves our best. But the men around us are none of those things. They're not worthy. They're not perfect. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything bad about human beings. I'm just saying they're not God. They're not perfect. They're not worthy. They're not without sin. They're not all-powerful. God is what they are not. And I know many wonderful people. I know many people that are better than I am. But I also know they're not God. They are not in the same category. You know, God is in a category all by himself. He's one. He is only the only one. 62 times in the Bible, the word evil and man appear together. 46 times in the Bible, the word evil and men appear together. Jesus, in one of these times, was in Mark. It says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So again and again, the Bible talks about there are men and there is evil in men. We don't have to go that intense, but the Apostle Paul said, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. So we might know some evil people, and we'd say they would be evil, evil, bad. But then we probably put the Apostle Paul, after he got converted and after he started serving the Lord, he wouldn't be one of the evil ones. But even he said, I'm a little lazy sometimes. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I lack the willpower to do it. One of the biggest adjustments in my life as after being a dad is watching my kids do the same stuff that I did. And now I knew it when I did it, it was wrong, and now I'm starting to watch them do it. I told the boys to pick up the room. We have buckets, we have totes, we have boxes. They know what this means. They know put the stuff back where it was. But I come back to the room and everything is moved and picked up and piled in a big pile in the corner. I used to do the same thing. I have already started a list. I used to hate when mom and dad would say, I hope you get a kid just like you. But I've already started my list about how I want Aaron and Arnie's kids to behave as soon as they get their own kids. I want them to act just like them. But the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I recognize the tendencies. I recognize myself and my kids because they're human beings. They are men. They are people just like I am people. Our will changes. People change their will. People change their preferences. We are inconsistent. We are inconsiderate. We are indecisive. We are imperfect. We're sinful men. All sinful people are frustrating. And all people are sinful. All men are in this category. So far, I've only talked about, you've had this imaginary group of people that we serve, but we are in this category. Those of us that want to serve God, those of us that want to do right by our Savior and serve God. In the verses of our text, the verses right before the part that we read, talks about wives, submit to your husbands, husbands, love your wives, children, obey your parents, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Servants, obey your masters. There's a similar passage in Ephesians where it says, masters, forbear threatening. Do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening. So it kind of covers all the relationships that we have. An employee and a boss, husband and wife, a father, a son, mom and dad, boys and girls, our family relationships. We're all in this category. We all fit into this imperfect, sinful, depraved, sinner saved by grace, however you want to say it. One beggar showing another beggar. We're all in the same category. We're supposed to serve each other, but we're not worthy. We're not worthy of the service that belongs to God. And the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons, and we're all in the same boat. Human beings are not worthy, but God is worthy. And that's number three. The blessing comes when you stop serving to please men and instead serve to please God. Verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And again, it doesn't mean you don't serve men, because that's all we have to serve is other human beings, but our service is not unto them, it's unto the Lord. What blessings do we get when we change our focus to pleasing God instead of pleasing men? The burdens become lighter. Because the reward is from God. The Bible says in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What blessings do we get when we start serving God instead of trying to please men? The insignificant, menial tasks become important and valuable. Because you're not serving another servant. You're not one ball of dirt serving another ball of dirt. You're serving the King. In Ephesians, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What's a blessing of serving God instead of serving to please men? The path becomes clearer. The Bible says in Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The interactions that we have, the situations that we're in, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, if we acknowledge God, instead of looking at that other flawed sinner that is in our path, and if we acknowledge God and say, because I love my Father, God, because I love what he did for me when he sent Jesus to die for me to give me a home in heaven. I'm serving you because I want to serve him. Even Jesus, when he prayed to the Father, he said, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus said, I don't care if I'm happy. I'm not trying to please me. I don't care if the other people around me are happy. They're not happy with me right now. But he said to the Father, I want your will to be done. I want the Father's will to be done. What's the blessing of serving God instead of serving to please men? The Spirit becomes a priority. Our spirit, our attitude with God becomes our priority, and the flesh fades. The Bible says in Romans, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what I desire for me, but I'm never going to get life and peace if I'm trying to please this sinner. I'm never going to get life and peace if I'm trying to please another sinner. I'm only going to get that life and peace if I get out of the flesh and seek to please God with my actions toward others. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What blessings do we get because we serve to please God instead of serving to please men? We get to choose to serve other men, not because they are worthy, but because God is worthy. We get to serve God. Don't stop serving because of unworthy men. Again, if you're trying to make yourself happy, you change your mind. Your will changes. Your preferences change. You're not going to make yourself happy. If you're trying to make other men in the flesh happy, they are in the same boat as you. You're not going to make them happy. You're not going to be a men pleaser. You're going to have to try to make God happy. You're going to have to try to make the one that doesn't change, the one whose word does not change, the one whose law does not change. We serve him. We don't serve unto men. This is how he chose for us to serve him. This is how God set it up. But not unto men, not unto individual sinners, but unto God. And again, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. All the service that we do is for other people. But the reason that we serve other people is because we serve God, because we want to honor God with our life. And the more we do that, the less we can focus on self, and the less we can focus on flesh, and the more we can focus on serving him. I have seen it in my own life where I almost get to the point where I forget who I'm serving. And I just want to remind everybody tonight, remember the only one that you're serving. You're serving the Lord. And don't get frustrated with circumstances and situations. People get grumpy. People, as sinners, are not always happy. But the way that we serve God is by serving other men. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't leave your first love. Don't forget that how we serve others is the way that God chose for us to serve him. And I'm preaching to a church that knows this. I'm reminding you of something you already know. But I want to ask you, please don't forget it. Remind yourself who you serve. Remind yourself why you serve. And we're going to have a word of prayer. If anything has touched your heart, you want to come to the altar here and ask God to remind you and show you how you can serve him by serving somebody that's not worthy, but by giving your service to God who is worthy. We serve because he is worthy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, something that I said tonight made a little sense. I pray that we would have love one for another because you first loved us. I pray we would have patience and mercy and long-suffering as a father has for the children when they do wrong, forgiveness, the things that only come from you, for our wives, for our husbands, for our sons and daughters, for our masters and our servants, and those that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Help us to remember we're not unto men, but unto the Lord Christ is the one that we serve. I pray you bless this time of invitation. I pray you'd use it to work in our hearts. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the time that we have together. Bless all that goes on. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.